Worship him anytime there is a need to worship him. God bless you. And there is need to keep reminding ourselves, brethren, that this world is not going to get better. I've been so burdened. Yesterday evening, I was somewhere with one of my daughters here, and all the youth, all of them, there were many there, all of them there, not one was exempted. All of them were wearing earrings. Men. And she told me that when she went to the toilet to ease herself, it's a public place, and she said, she saw women that were changing their dresses, removing the one they came there with, and then to where I said one wore only pant and a bra and was going out of the toilet. And I thought, and as I sat down there, I was looking at them. I said, all these people, they have parents. For them to behave like that, they have conquered the authority of the parents. What else is left? What else is left? They are now left under the influence of the social media to rule their life, to guide them. Brethren, no hope again. I've been so worried because me too, I have children growing up in the same generation. I don't know how this earth will look like in the next 20 years. It is evidence. I know that God will not let this go too far before he will end it. The only place that is left now for us to do something is the church. It's the church. But how many pastors are promoting righteousness and holiness and godliness? Everyone you see in Big Brother, Big Brother Niger, I don't know the brotherhood there. Every one of them there has a pastor. They have a pastor that is watching them. When Pastor Lumide come here to tell you how to identify the church you should worship, somebody will be looking and thinking that we are playing politics. We want people to come to Bride Assembly. It is why he said the church is because the spirit of the church is defined from the pulpit. So actually, he means identifying the true men of God.
Amen. Amen.
It is what they give out that forms what the church is.
Very true.
It's true. And any church, hallelujah, that does not promote godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. The only reason you will live a life now and be free from all this funny attraction is a spirit of contentment. Because the reason why many men of God and all these funny churches are coming, where are they? One says his own is God raised him up to raise up financial giants. So, you want to prosper financially, you go to that church. And millions are going to such churches. Sorry, allow me to make this comment because since yesterday, I have been pained in my heart. When I saw it, and what come to me is, will my own children also go like this one day? And God, and the truth about it is, Satan is so, He is so, I don't know, this Satan, when he wants to deal with you, He doesn't come straight. He will come corner, 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 corner. Then by the time he strikes you, you have no option. They started by saying, stop speaking hate speech, hate speech, hate speech. That is, it's Christianity they were after. So now, if you speak against anybody's character, it is a hate speech. They made a law, you go to prison. Then they say, now, if a child is over 18, he is a man of his own. My sister in Manchester, you are listening to me. Immediately, the only son she has on his birthday that he turned 18, he came and said, Mommy, I am checking out of this house. I'm going to get my own house. Every day, prayer, 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 prayer. You be pray, 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 up to now you don't have a husband. So how has your life changed? He was just waiting. Because, and if he goes any further, the Lord will catch her and jail her. And they showed me a clip yesterday that a young man, his father, was preventing him from joining LGBT, from being gay. And maybe he was in a hotel where the lesbians are. The father traced him there. And he got angry. And then they were arguing that he brought out his gun and shot his father. And then when he realized what he has done, then he turned on himself and killed himself. Satan has finished that assignment. Listen very well. Church of Jesus Christ, any ministry you go and you see them promoting a man, they are coming corner, 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 corner. Very soon, he will become your God. When they want to put themselves in position, that is how they start. Years back, 1995, my former ministry, church, they kept talking about the five-fold ministry. The five-fold ministry. The five-fold ministry. They continued that thing for so long. It started with a man in America by the name of Raymond Jackson. He's late now, so I can call his name confidently. Don't die. Nobody go sue me. Now, he started it, emphasized it so much. Five-fold ministry, five-fold ministry. Then they began. Who is the highest? This one, evangelist like this, pastor is like this, the apostle is like this. Then they lifted the apostle that is above all the rest. And before you know what, they got even among the apostles again, there is the chief apostle. Then we didn't know where they were going to. Until, you know, the time came where that particular man in America was made the lead apostle. Then, the Nigerian people now, if there's lead apostle, there will be other apostles. One of them, maybe you're hearing me now, in my former church, we held him so highly. After he himself, five-fold ministry. Then he took gather people, and then I think he had about 7 or 8 churches that he was setting in order. The apostles' work is to set the churches in order. And we held him highly because they know how to hype themselves. And it's all grammar. And then I was looking for the fruit of the womb, so we are going everywhere for prayers. So I visited his town so that he will have prayers, my wife and I. When we got there, the fellowship that we had in his church, we were 15 of us.
An apostle's church.
Plus the visitors, including me and my wife and some other people, 15. And then I came back to Lagos. And I told my pastor, This man, what would they hold highly? Not be apostle. He said, why, Brother Moses? I said, he has not affected his own environment. He's going about to set the churches in order. Which example, where are we, which one did he set up for us to learn from? I said, sir, this man, no joro. And they talk my own, not because I be pastor. Now I say, and they do I'm small because I don't become leader. I'm freer when I sit down for congregation. Pulpit, they preach, then they look me. If I don't nod head, they no trouble there. And I said, why? The pastor went and told him, see what Brother Moses said. That's how he cut off from me. Anytime he came, like my house, he stayed before. He cut off because I told him, you are not an apostle. They are looking for men worship. And that is what they are afraid of. The Gentile, every day, average Gentile, once you have something, either it's a revelation or an anointing that is higher or something better than people around you, they become an idol. People begin to worship them. So they are seeing the move of God in Pride Assembly and they are attacking me. The reason they are attacking me is that they are thinking I want to make a claim that I am now. I don't know which title now we use to serve. They don't collect all the titles. Anyone remain? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Allow me to say this then and we talk about the gifts. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this spirit has been on since. Let it guide you. Verse 6 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this verse 6 and verse 7.
And this is, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes.
Listen very well.
That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written.
Don't think of men above what is written. That what?
That no one of you be puffed up for one against another.
So that you don't begin to puff off against one another. Go ahead.
For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?
Thank you. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Read from verse 6.
I have planted, Apollos watered.
See, humble servants of God.
But God gave the increase.
God is the one that gives the increase.
So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Thank you.
Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
You will receive your own according to your own
labor.
Labor. That is how. William Branham will receive his own according to his own labor. Apostle Paul will receive his own according to his own labor. Pastor Moses will receive his reward according to his own labor. All of you ministers that enter road, sun, rain, evangelizing everywhere, come here every night, prayer group leader, you don't sleep at the home. All of you, IT department, there is one, about two or three of them, that the wife had to protest because sometimes for 2 weeks, he has not gone home because one job, to get one job ready, has to be under, but he must watch his computer, watch 6 hours watching it. Just to finish one job that has taken him to round up a job that has taken him more than 3 days to do. Now to round it, they call it rendition. 6 hours he's still rendering. So he had no time to go home again. God will reward you according to your labor. Go on, I'm still reading it to verse 11.
For we are laborers together with God.
This is who we are. We are. Yes.
Ye are God's husbandry.
The church.
Ye are God's building.
The church.
According to the grace of God which is given unto me.
Every one of us, we are given a grace.
As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
All that God called us to do is to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
Any man of God, any pastor, any preacher that exalts himself directly or indirectly through all those their funny testimonies they give, or through a display of some anointing, and you do not get humbled, and you exalt yourself until people are ready to die for you, you are an antichrist. Listen, any man of God that knows that the people are bowing before him, they are using his name for healing, they are using his name for whatever it is, and he is aware, I understand that there is a man of God, a popular man of God in Nigeria, that has his house where he lived as a place of pilgrimage. He's still living. When the ministry started, this is where he lived. The people pay to pay pilgrimage. This is where the G.O. was sleeping. This is the bed where him and his wife were using. They will go there, lay hand there. This is the seat he was using in his sitting room. Then they will go and sit there, anointing will carry them. Then they will go. It's a big picture. I saw the picture. Don't show it, oh. IT, don't show it, oh. I know they, oh. They were bowing before him. They knelt down before a picture of a living pastor. And he is aware of you are antichrist. If you are not, then listen to me and remove that picture. Yes, we love our pastor. You can hang his picture anywhere, in your office, anywhere. Yes, that is my pastor. Yes, all your loved ones, you want to show, you know, people you love. But when he crosses beyond the love of brotherly love of a man through whom God has blessed you, if it goes beyond that, it is man worship.
I hear you, sir.
It is abomination. The only man God gave us. What is his name?
Jesus.
What is his name? Say it.
Jesus. Glory.
It is the invasion of Christianity.
Amen and amen.
Don't worry. We will still preach a sermon that I titled The Invasion of Christianity. Saying this because for the past weeks, all that they have been attacking us is because we say William Branham is not the Elijah spoken of in Revelation chapter, well, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. We say he's not the one. Hey, you are pulling down their idol. Hey, some of them don't even pick my call again. Hey, some of them, nothing, anything about get that. And they are, to them, that is the apostolic faith. May God help us.
Amen.
I say, may God help us.
Amen.
Don't be distracted.
Amen.
From the cross.
Hallelujah. The cross alone.
Lord. Don't be distracted from the cross. That is my message to you.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now. We are called to serve God. Now let's go to the teaching I have. It's a teaching, no? I want to teach you how to use your gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. One statement
now,
there.
Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Now, it means you can be ignorant of the gift of the Spirit. What will you be ignorant of? You can be ignorant of what the gifts of the Spirit are. You can be ignorant of who are those the gifts are given to. You can also be ignorant of the knowledge of when you receive that gift. And you can be ignorant and begin to ask if one can ask for any gift. You can be ignorant of the true identification of the gifts, how to identify the gifts, and you can be ignorant of how to operate the gifts. So that verse 1 again, what did he say? 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
And that is why I am looking at the operation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That is the topic, the operations. Hallelujah. The operations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Listen very well. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm teaching. So listen very well. While I'm teaching now, hold the anointing that is coming upon you so that you will know how to use that anointing. Hold them first and learn how to use the anointing. Concentrate. If the vision comes, shake your head off. Say, amen, make her hear something first. Because it may help you. The bride of Christ all over the world. And the reason this is very important is that everyone that is born again has a gift. Everyone that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the gifts of that Holy Ghost you have received. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, 8.
But unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens.
If far above all heavens.
That he might fill all things.
And he did what?
And he gave some apostles.
These are the gifts. Now listen very well. Listen very well. Now you will notice that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let me bring out something here quickly.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Singular gift, not plural gifts. There is the gift of the Holy Ghost in the context it is used here. It means eternal life.
Amen.
For eternal life is a gift from God. Now, but he that ascended is also the one that descended that he might fill all things. He gave gifts to all men. Gifts to all men. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. You receive the gifts. Hear my English. You receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Am I speaking English? Because, hallelujah, the gift that you are operating comes by the one that dwells in you, the Holy Ghost. He owns it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are leadership gifts, and there is the body gift. There are two groups, categories of these gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where we were reading.
Go and on. He gave some apostles.
Apostles, these are the gifts, five of them.
And some prophets,
uh-huh.
And some evangelists,
uh-huh.
And some pastors and teachers.
They are the leadership gifts. What is it for?
For the perfecting of the saints.
You see?
For the work of the ministry.
Uh-huh.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Till what?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
That is the leadership gift. Verse 14.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, uh-huh. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Now that is the church. Jesus Christ handed over the church to these leadership offices. And in these offices, in Ephesians 4:11, Only men are ordained into it. The reason is because in the church order, women are not permitted to teach men, to lead men, to instruct men, according to the scripture. That is the leadership offices. So, you have the prophet, the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. They are ordained into this office. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8.
For to one is given by the Spirit.
Now, these are the body gifts. These are the body gifts. See the way Apostle Paul put it. Go on.
The word of wisdom. Uh-huh. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Uh-huh. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Uh-huh. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Uh-huh. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the next verse.
For as the body is one and hath many members.
The body is one with many members.
And all the
members. Olumide, name 5 members of your body.
My nose, my eyes, my mouth, my hands, my legs.
And the one you use the most is your mouth. Olumide. Amen. Amen. That's the one you use the most. Your mouth. Women too, their mouth they get. Praise the Lord. So that is why they are called the body gift. The church of Jesus Christ is known as the body of Christ. It's a spiritual body made up of members. Hallelujah. And the members there are defined by the gift that they have. Yep. The members there, oh, praise the Lord. We will come to that. So when we talk of the gift of the Holy Ghost, what are the gifts of the Holy Ghost? That is the topic. Hallelujah. These gifts are the effect of the outpour of the Spirit in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Joel chapter 2.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh.
Hundreds of years this prophecy was given.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall
dream. Listen, what will happen? I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Take note. All flesh. And what?
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Among you, the old men, they will dream dreams.
Your young men shall see visions.
They will see visions.
And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out
my
Spirit.
So the outpour of the Spirit will not be determined about your estate, physical, including your house help, including those you have enslaved, including those that you say they are Osu, those that are racially discriminated, including all of them. God will pour his Spirit upon all of them. And take note, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and you will see this. So that you'll understand in Psalm 68 and verse 18, you see why he say all there. Psalm 68 and verse 18.
Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity
that
captive.
That is what Apostle Paul was quoting in verse 7 and verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4. Read on.
Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them.
So even the righteous, they receive the Holy Ghost, and the rebellious also. And that's why, be careful when you see any anointing going on anywhere, you call it of the devil. The anointing can be genuine, the gift can be genuine, but the vessel may be false. It's another mystery. Those are the, that's what it is referred to as the gifts. The gifts are the talents that we see in Luke chapter 19 from verse 11. It is these gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a parable called talents.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
What did he say?
He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return.
And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ after he ascended.
And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
What did he say?
Occupy till I come.
When they say occupy, that is carry on the work till I come. The work of redemption till I come. So that you will know that the gift is given to you to serve God with it. It is for ministry work. Go on.
But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
That is why we say, the gift that is given to you is given for you to work and make gain for the kingdom. Make gain in the kingdom. That is why, what did he say in Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Am I correct?
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
That is the scripture.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body.
Done where?
In his body.
Not in your physical body, your own body. It's in the body of Christ.
According to that he had done, whether it be good or bad.
So that means you are either doing something good in the body of Christ, or you are doing something bad in the body of Christ, you will account for it. What you use your gift to do, is it for good or for bad, you will account for it. That scripture brings fear to me. It guides me on how I use the gift. That's why I used to tell our gifted brothers and sisters, I said, be careful. The people looking for us to attend to them, they are looking for us because of the gift that they know we have. And always have it in mind that it is because of such problems they have that God gave you the gift. Be careful how you use that gift, because you will account for it. As I said earlier on, they are the body parts referred to where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is the gifts. And so that you understand what he was saying, let's read that verse 12 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read on so that you will know that you will understand what this gift is given for and how it is supposed to function. Listen very well.
For as the body is one.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
We are all of us, it is the same Spirit, the same Spirit.
For the body is not one member.
When you say the body of Pastor Moses Alu, the body is not one member,
but many.
Many members make up this one body called Moses Alu. So also is Christ. That is what he's explaining.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body.
Is it possible?
Is it therefore not of the body?
It is not what you say. It is who you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You are not a Christian because you say with your mouth, I am a Christian. You're a Christian because of who you are. I don't know if I'm speaking grammar. I don't know. Look at me very well. Onye, I am a Christian. It means nothing to God. It means nothing. And you don't become a Christian because you say so with your mouth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, you are not for you to say, I am not a member. Listen. If you cease to be a member of the Bride Assembly Church, you do not cease to be a member of the body of Christ. Right. I don't know if I'm... Right. Eh? If you go to any church, and because you have left the church, they say you have fallen from grace. Grace that the church gave you, or grace that Christ gave you. Who is the giver of grace? Amen. When you don't know these things, then some of these funny pastors will be confusing you in this Christian journey. Any church you are not comfortable with to serve God and be happy there, for any reason you have, get out of that church. Including this church, Bride Assembly Church. Get out. You will never, when you come before Christ in the rapture, they will never ask you, which church did you belong? So your membership of a church is only opportunity to supply something to the body. I repeat, your membership to join any church, you are joining a church so that you can have opportunity to supply something to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because even if you say, I don't go any church, you are expected to evangelize. Now, after evangelizing and somebody believes, you will still send the person to a church. You have contributed to the body of Christ. Amen. And that is not to tell you that you should sit at home and be worshiping online. If you have left the Bride Assembly Church, don't join us online. You are still part of us. So the thing that is wrong with you is carnality. Because be sure that the reason you leave your church is because it is going to affect your eternal destination. It's going to affect your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And the body of Christ does not stand alone. No member stands alone. We are connected. That is what is called fellowship of the brethren. Amen. Have you finished reading?
Verse 16.
Yes.
And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?
Uh-huh.
If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing...
What did he say?
If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?
You see why we keep saying these things? That you go to a church, Pastor Olumide emphasized it during the Sunday school, and then only one man is the evangelist, is the prophet, is the pastor, is the teacher. And I understand one man at worry also. Is no worry or worry. One of this. He said, all the gift, he has it. Therefore, only him. You don't need any other one. You don't need any other person. The only people that he allows to prophesy are people who will continue to prophesy his greatness. Thus said the Lord, my servant, I have raised you in this generation. Hey, my people, listen to him. Listen to him. It's not God talking, no. It's the spirit of idolatry operating in that church. Building you to become the idol of the church. And by so doing, kill the spirituality of the church. So that they depend on you and you alone. Then you become the idol, the all in all. Now you they baptize. Now you they prophesy. Now you they do waiting. Hey! And people who are blind are lifting him up. The truth is this. There is something about the spirit of error. It has an attraction. The reason this church church, we are 25 years old now. The reason that this church, despite all the grace, the gifts in this ministry, the reason that we are still the way we are is because of what we are saying.
That's right.
It's because of what we are saying here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When I made a statement which day, Sister Joy came to me and said, "Daddy, pastors don't talk like that again." I'm shocked to hear that from you. I don't know whether it was during the vigil or when did I make that statement. When I said that God is not interested in your money more than your soul. And I made a statement. I said, if you are not a believer, if you are living a life disgracing Christ, living a life contrary, bringing shame to his name, living criminal life, wuru-wuru to get money, and you bring the tithe and bring it to the altar, and you are not born again, I say, it's an abomination. God will punish you. Instead of blessing you, he will punish you because you are insulting him. You are insulting God. Do you know the meaning of tithe? You have blessed me. Take your own. Is he the one that blessed you? Even what you did, you are making sure police will not know. See, if you are not born again, stop going to give him offering. The offering will turn to a curse. You are insulting him. Amen. God is more interested in your soul. He didn't die so that he will be collecting tithe from you. And because your tithe does not commend you to God, paying tithe is a commandment. It's the same commandment that says you should not lie, you should not commit fornication. The same commandment. So listen, we are interested in gathering people to go home. That is what God called us to do.
Amen.
And I thank God for the crop of ministers that are here now. Some ministers that were here before, they were doing politics, fighting for position in the church. Not in the body of Christ. In the church, politics. Scheming against one another, setting traps. There are churches that ministers even poison each other so that they will take position. See what the church has been reduced to. Men know you as a powerful man of God. Men know you as a servant of God. Does God know you as his servant? If you place yourself in a position, what you use to get to that position is what you will use to keep yourself in that position. You continue to do politics. That is why, as soon as anybody is coming up, you see a pastor, we kill the gift so that nobody will know them. And of course, you too, the reason you want everybody to see that you have a gift, you are struggling to collect microphone, you are struggling to be known, is because you are planning so that when after everybody has known you, then you will now pack some and then go and start your own. So the pastor is also, because that is how he too did before his own started. So when he see you do, he go say, "I don't do that game before. You don't go succeed here. You don't go succeed here." Look at all the ministers that have left this church. The prophets that have left this church. See what they set up. Whether it resembles anything they were part of in this ministry. As soon as any prophet is coming up, they are immediately. Because they know what they did. So as they come, they say, "Ah, Konima died, Konima buried him. Where did they come? Me, sir, I don't follow that pattern. I want to collect my members. Amen. And that, if you like, follow them. It has never stopped me. If I see any grace in your life, I will lift you up. Because I'm not the one you are serving. And if God call you to help, God call me and help gather your members, then it's now time for you to go and open shop somewhere to go with them. And they follow you. I have succeeded now. I got members for you. I have succeeded now. Then I will wait again for those who will come again. I prepare them. Who told you I have a register to show in heaven of the number of people that came to my church? There are people that are giving their life to Christ through my ministry. I don't even know them. There are people that have heard my message on the tape and they receive eternal life. I don't even know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the body, amen, the body is made up of members. I want you to understand what the gifts are. When the Bible says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without.
So the operation of the gifts is the manifestation of the Spirit that you have received. Secondly now, who are those that are given the gifts? I think I've spoken it here. We have seen that in Psalm 68 verse 18, we have read it, that is given to all men, even to the rebellious, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And there's a reason. Amen. And I've told you that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So number one, it is given to all men, including the rebellious. And there's a reason he does it. B, it's given to those who are baptized into the body. And it is for service, as I have spoken. We're going to use it. Amen. And it's given to any man, to any woman that God wants to use for a purpose. For a purpose. And the reason, if he has a reason to use you, remember, every human being is created by God and for his pleasure and for his purpose. He wants to use you. They are the anointed ones we see everywhere. Everywhere. He called Cyrus my anointed. Cyrus was not a Jew. Balaam was not a Jew, but he could contact the God of the Jews. Praise the Lord. Because he has a purpose. He even anointed the animal, the ass that Balaam was speaking. Some of you, even madmen on the road, give you message. Malam, give you message on the road. My junior sister, one Tuareg man, gave her a prophecy and it came to pass. Gave her discernment. Somebody met on the road, this Meduguri Tuaregs from Niger Republic. Those ones there. Okay, Yarinya, so. And she was on her way to the hospital in a bus stop. You are going to the hospital? Yes. He said, you're on your way to the hospital. Talking to her in Hausa. You are going and you are afraid that the sickness you are going, you may die. He said, no, you will not die. He said, the reason is because you have a brother that is praying for you. He's in Lagos. Then she understood, this is God talking, not Malam. Praise the Lord. And you will say, they speak, there is no solution. They are peeping spirit. They are this. Well, you know better. This one came to pass. Because the sickness didn't kill her. Because we were praying for her. So be careful when you bring all this condemnation. Amen. Number three. When do we receive this gift? Very interestingly, some receive it from birth. Both, amen, the anointing, anointed one, the gifts, the body gifts, those gifts you operate, and the leadership gifts. The leadership gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. There are people, there are children that when they are born, and even while they merely they start speaking, you see them telling you they see things, telling you they hear things. And some, we take them to wrong places and they will say they are possessed and things like that. No, they are not. They are not. They see vision. Some will tell you they are seeing evil spirits scaring them. It's a gift they have. Those spirits are there. You don't see that the person see them. That small boy, small girl see them. And it's very easy. Amen. You see them operating. They will say, "Daddy, daddy, I see my friend, mama. He died." And the next day, news will come say the person died. See? They are born with the gift. With that gift. Eh? Prophet Sunday. From age 7, Abby. From age 7.
It's our 7th year birthday.
Eh?
It's my 7th year birthday.
Your 7th birthday.
Yeah, birthday.
That was when they appeared to you.
They appeared to me. 3 angels.
Eh?
3 angels appeared.
3 of them. How did you know they are angels? 3 men. Don't say 3 men.
And they came and surrounded me and they introduced themselves.
And they told you some things.
Yes, sir.
They even told you about this church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ever before you came to Lagos. Before this church started.
There's a church I will meet. I will go. And it's an outside man that will be the pastor. They will go there and they will meet with me in that place.
And after that, it continued for some time. Then stop. You stopped. You were not seeing anything again.
Yes, sir.
Until you came back here.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And something happened and the gift began again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From birth. I think it's the same testimony with Amarachi. Is she around? Is she around? Eh? Okay. Okay, she's not in the hall. Praise the Lord. Amen. And not only her, there are many more sitting down here. I'm only telling you those who have shared their testimonies with me. And I have met many along this journey of the faith. Even my own son, while he was just able to talk, you'll be staying there in his court and you'll just hear him shouting, Aunt Esther was the auntie. Aunt Esther was not living with us. Aunt Esther. And we'll be saying, "Why are you shouting?" And then he's rejoicing, Aunt Esther. 5 minutes after, they are knocking at the door, Aunt Esther is entering. And it has happened and so many other things. You know, then we knew that this is also a gift from birth. Praise the Lord. The same thing with the leadership gifts. The prophet, there are some, amen, that you receive after you receive the Holy Ghost, and there are some that you receive from birth. That is what I'm explaining. That the leadership, most of the gift, in fact, all of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 11, the fivefold ministry, all is from birth. The prophet is from birth. It's a channel. There are some of them from birth. I say some, not all. But the real prophets that are called of God, They don't struggle to prophesy. Oh, glory be to God. They don't go to the mountain so that they will have the gift. They are born with it. Amen. And they are the ones that trouble God the most. Because they have no value for it. They don't know how precious the gift is. Samson had no value for his gift. Because all he needs to do is just shake the head. He doesn't do night vigil. Every night is with a woman. But even as he's on top of the woman, the enemy is coming. He will jump up. Amen. Except God hold that person very well. Amen. Because it's just a gift. It's a gift. They don't know how it came about. They don't know how it came about. And some of you that see them flying, you think that if you come close to them, you'll be able to learn. There is nothing to learn from them because they didn't acquire it. They have nothing to teach. They cannot tell you this is how the gift is functioning because then they said they don't know how it came about. Amen. What of the pastor? The pastor, by his nature, he is a leader. From birth, as they grow up, you will notice, even if there are two, he will be the leader, the one leading among the friend he has. He's the one that influences that one. That one always come to him for advice. They don't do politics to be on top. They always identify wherever they are. There's something about them. It's a leadership quality they have. And if you don't have that leadership quality, you cannot lead the people of God. You cannot watch over them. It will be trouble. Why? Because you don't have the grace to lead. Today they scatter. You start all over. Pastor, I don't know, anytime I gather, they always scatter. I don't know, they scatter. They always scatter. Are you with a pastoral gift? Are you a leader? What is your history of leadership? When you were in school, were you a prefect? Were you a class monitor? Did you head any department where you work? Were you in charge of any social group anywhere? Were you leading anywhere, even in your house, that your wife be the leader? And you want to come and gather people? That is a pastor. The evangelist, waka waka. He loves to travel. He loves to move from place to place. He's always comfortable. If an evangelist decides to become a pastor, the members will hardly see him. Today he's in Sokoto, tomorrow he's in Maiduguri, next tomorrow he's this. He's everywhere. He's just anxious to receive an invitation, so you have excuse to run and go. He loves to go. The evangelists, they don't force them. They don't cajole them, come for evangelism. Come for whichever. Before you talk, you don't reach already. You are wasting his time. He will leave you. They go. Praise the Lord. I will never forget this. That when I came out of Ikoyi prison, I decided to be visiting prisons. And the group that brought the message to us was all formed newly, West African Prisons Outreach, with a group of pastors. The entire message. They brought it to us. They were still trying to form it. But they were doing a lot of politics because they saw dollar. Because it was an American that came so that they can take the message to the prisons. He owned the American Prisons Outreach. And so the very month I came out, I went to visit them. And then they had a meeting. One, they were always, leadership problem, position problem among them. The man that came was feeling very frustrated. It was because of dollar. And You know, he told me this much later. That day, it was a Sunday. They had a meeting in one of the pastor's houses. And he said I should come. Because he was telling me, why are you forming another one now? I should join them to go to the prison. I said, okay. Meanwhile, I had an appointment to preach in Ikoyi prison that Saturday. I mean, that Sunday afternoon. And they were there talking. And I looked at the time. Then I tapped the man. And I told all of them, I said, please excuse me, I have to leave you people. I have a preaching appointment in Ikoyi prison. And they were saying, wait. I said, excuse me, please. I beg you people, continue, I'm going. He said that action I did was the action that made him believe that this is the person he should work with. That his mind is in the prison. See, we are these people are wasting their time here, meeting. And to prove it, we were going to go on a prison visitations in some states. We took off in two cars, my own car and the car of another brother. And then I didn't know that in that car they were in front, they were arguing and fighting. They stopped after Shagamu and they said, please, we have decided that you and Brother Moses, you people should continue the tour. We are going back to Lagos. They came back with somebody from the U.S. that had come to sponsor the ministry. A very rich brother from America. It is because they saw him, that is why they are all fighting. Dollar. And then they went back. By the time we came back, after I think about 2 weeks of touring the prisons, we came back. They had met and they said the only way for this organization to move forward is they should all resign and hand over the ministry to Brother Moses. And when I came, they put it in a paper, put it in the write-up and everything. And then they handed it over to me. Then the next thing was, so we have decided everything should go. So how much should we be sending to you as a salary for the ministry? Sister Abigail, I don't know if you are aware of this thing I'm saying. Because your pastor was involved. You are not aware. Okay, she's not aware. Your pastor was involved. And then he said, I said, no, I don't need salary. They say, what? Pressure here. And one of them turned and looked at me. Brother Moses, they thought maybe the amount they are offering me is too small. That's why I'm rejecting. And I said, he said, brother, when you were in the Air Force, how much were they paying you? That you are rejecting this. And I told them, when I was in the Air Force, I was not living on my salary. So don't bring that here. And I turned and I looked at him. You told me you are a painter in America. Every year you paint 800 houses and then you gather the money and you go about evangelical DC. Why don't you want me to also walk like you are walking and sponsor the organization? And they looked at me. Before a millionaire in dollar, I am saying that. All of them said, this is the man we need. Hallelujah. It's not because of the money. Praise the Lord. I told them, I said, it is very easy. See, my colleagues are everywhere. I will get job. I will get contract. I will be collecting your money and still be working. I said, that will make me insincere now. Now, working and sending money to me as salary. And then meanwhile, I am doing other job. I said, my conscience will not allow me. Let us work and sponsor the ministry together. That is evidence. That is an evangelist. That is a call. Hallelujah. That's why anybody that God call you, you say God call you, and you are looking at the money, Satan will use it and frustrate you. Praise the Lord. The same thing, an evangelist always moving about. Amen. Nothing disturbs him. Rain, sunshine, nothing. That's why I love my brother at Aquara State, Pastor Promise. He can't pastor anywhere, everywhere, from village to village. While you are waiting for air ticket, he's entering any available, whether or not you enter that bush. Go and minister. It is evidence that is born with it. This man here, since I was born, I have been occupying leadership. It's not a post, so that you'll understand my teaching. That's what I'm telling you. And I don't scheme to be there, even to be the pastor here. The other ministers forced it on me. The pastor in Ikoyi prison, all of them say, you will be the pastor. I didn't scheme for it. The same thing. Go and ask my colleagues. They are hearing me now. In the Air Force, in the military school, where we were from 1973 to 1978, the first day in class, who will be your monitor? I was sitting at the back. The army lieutenant said, he's the class master. He pointed at the back. You there, stand up and come. I became the monitor of the class and became the leader until we left. Every appointment for our set, I was there. And even in the military training, they will gather squad by squad for a military exercise. They will say, Alu, come, you'll be the leader of this squad. Not fighting for it. No. When they decided to set up the Armed Forces Consultative Committee of representatives of various commands, officers, to be having regular meeting with President Babangida, they selected a senior officer. Our boss removed his name and said, put Flag Lieutenant Alu to represent this command. There is something he saw. It has been like that throughout. In my former church, I was not a minister, but I was the one keeping the bond of fellowship among the pastors. Anytime they had a problem, they would come and meet me. Even when one wants to leave, when he tells me, I will talk back, counsel them, they will stay. And one day, the pastor in a meeting, I said, some of the members came to me and said, he said, why are they coming to you? And I told my pastor, I said, that is the question. Why, instead of going to their pastor, they are going to an ordinary member? Why? I said, that is the question you should answer and adjust your leadership. Praise the Lord. You can see where I was not a member of the Elder Council, and I was just an ordinary church member. But anywhere I went, there is something there about leadership. When things are not going on well, I will come and give my advice. I will organize. I was a leader is leader. You are born. See, my mother changed her name, her surname to my name, and said, I'm now her husband. The only son. And I have two of my seniors. All of them looked up to me. And out of all the children of my father, he married 13 wives. There is no decision they take without letting me know. Including those who had children who were my age mates. Before they take any decision about the family, they let me know. And I can come and reverse it by an advice that they will say, yeah, you are correct. That's why we wanted you to confess. It's leadership. Praise the Lord. So when they say I am a pastor, I know I am born a pastor. I am born a pastor. Praise the Lord. The same thing with a teacher. A teacher is about knowledge. He's always reading, always studying, always reading. Not reading to show that he knows. It's all part of him. He loves knowledge. He loves knowledge. That is a teacher. It's already in him. There are books that Olumide has read that I don't even know how he got them. It's true. And so sometimes I will sit down with him to learn some things. And I'm not trying to be humble. It is a fact. Person will know something where you don't know. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. I was a leader. They call him Provost Marshal of the military school. Yet, it's a military school, so if they teach anything, if you ask stupid questions, you know where you will end up. The officer will take you. So, exam is coming. I know you know better than me now. When the time comes, I will start bribing them. So that when they are studying, I will come and join them to study. Amen. And I pass, just as they pass. I pass because I humble myself. Eh? So I learned from Olumide. I learned from, see, there's a scripture we are sitting down there during Sunday school that Pastor Elvis was showing me. Evidence of other light. And what came to my mind is how this man takes see this scripture. I said, please write it for me. Thank you very much. We learn every day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they are always studying. All that thing that Pastor Elvis was teaching us about Paul, is for the first time I was hearing it. What thing concerned me to go read when he left Crete and then he went to, and the problem he had. Wait, my mind did not go there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was always concentrating on the book of Titus. I was always concentrating on the book of Timothy and the church order in the book of Corinthians, because I'm now a pastor, so that I'll make sure whatever I'm doing is scriptural. I didn't know that there is more interesting aspect of it. It must be somebody who reads. It was not repeated. Did you hear it from me? You read it and you took it in a Sunday school. That is evidence that is a teacher. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And every day, Olumide is bringing material. Sir, have you seen this book? Sir, have you seen this book? And I was trying to look for something. He said, I have downloaded it. He said, I have it. Amen. I don't even know whether he sleeps at all. What time do you get to read? Because to read takes time. That is a teacher. Which one again? Which one never talk? Apostle. Apostle, remember, the uniqueness of the apostolic ministry is that they were the foundational ministry that laid the foundation. And the criteria for choosing them does not need to be put for us to learn from, because that ministry will not be raised up again. Christ himself had no criteria other than the one that God showed him. It is who the Father showed him. See that one, where they go? Call him. Then he will call him. Follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. Do you understand? So there's nothing for me to teach you how to identify an apostle. No need for that. The apostolic ministry is here. That's where the apostolic ministry is. So don't go and start arguing yourself for that chieftaincy title of an apostle. You see, an apostle is the one that set things in order. The one that set things in order is the teacher. The one that set things in order. It's the ministry of a teacher. It teaches you. This is how this scripture is. This is how it should be. This is how it should be. And he has a reference point. What is his authority? It's the apostolic doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I'm saying something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, and then there are those that receive it after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave some apostles. He, Jesus, is the one that gave some apostles. Some. After you receive the Holy Ghost, then these gifts begin to operate. Hallelujah. As he has blessed you. I have to stop for now, so that when next we come, I don't want to rush this. When next we come, we'll find out whether one can ask for any gift. Then we'll look at how to identify that gift that you have, and then finally how to operate that gift. God bless you. And then after that, you will ask your questions. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know many